Welcome to the LRNteach.com podcast, helping you consider Christian education for the poor and marginalized from a theonomic perspective. LearnTeach.com advises you to cease from man and to think God's thoughts after him. Find us at LRNteach.com, on YouTube, and in the iTunes Store. Contact me at facebook.com/Christian.education. So, for those that might have missed the first video, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, my name is Jeremy Walker. I'm 33 years old. I'm an ordained minister, and I've been working in early childhood education since 1999, about 14 years now. I got married when I was at the age of 19, and I currently have 9 children. I have 5 boys and 4 girls. My oldest child is 12, and my youngest little girl, she's 6 months old. And my wife and I have a private Christian preschool in Bonita Springs, Florida, for 13 years now here. And we have about 250 students in our school per day in our location only. And we have people from all walks of life that come in. Some people who do go to church. Most of them are non-Christian or don't go to church at all. And that's our ministry that we have. That pretty much explains roughly who I am and what we do.
In the previous interview, which you should really watch first, we introduced the work of Grace Community Schools in Florida. Now, I'm sure that those who watched the first interview are excited about such an opportunity to reach out effectively through Christian childcare. Now, we want to focus in this interview about how you can get involved in a like young child ministry where God has called you to be. So we're going to be focusing in on the apprenticeship program. Okay, so what did you do to prepare for your calling in this area?
For preparation for that, I think we'd have to have, especially when you're talking about a calling, you're talking about more than just a job. It's not like working at a fast food restaurant or any other place, which would be just a normal type of job. Any job, of course, is respectable and could be considered a calling. There are professional plumbers and otherwise. This kind of calling, of course, full-time ministry, evangelism, specifically focusing on young children. I think that you have to have a vision and understanding of why ministry to young children and not to older children is important. Most of the time, churches and other people will focus sometimes on children. They might have VBS 1 week out of the year. They'll bring young children in for a little bit of Bible and some fun activities. They might have a Sunday school that they do some small activities with, this kind of thing. But nobody really takes it seriously. And it's something that for the youngsters, it's kind of like the adults are going to go to church and the kids, well, they're going to go off and be entertained while mommy and daddy are busy learning. So it's very often that the young ones are neglected and seen as kind of being there, but not really understanding what's going on. And I would say that part of being ready to take on a ministry such as the apprenticeship program would have to take the understanding of why it's important, why preschool is important. It's very evident that the humanists that are out there, the people that are non-Christian, they take education very seriously. They don't take just college-level education seriously or high school or middle school or elementary. They're now going younger and younger and younger. Being in the preschool field as we have for the last 14 years, increasingly there's been a push to have government funds, fund programs, Head Start. Right now there's one called Voluntary Preschool or VPK here in the States. It's pushing to get government funding for preschool students so that not only would it be free for everybody to take their child to kindergarten in a public school system, they would also pushing to get preschool to be free as well. And so they're going younger and younger and younger. The only thing they really lack right now is the funds from the public funds from taxes to do so. But they do understand how important it is. And one important thing that is very evident in all the child care classes anyone will take is that it's very important not to teach Bible. This is universally understood in childcare. You're not supposed to teach Bible. And the reason for this is that, of course, the enemies of Christianity don't want children to learn the Bible. And with that, they also don't want children that are young to learn to read. Reading naturally follows into reading the Bible. And when you read the Bible, you get ideas that, well, maybe you have to keep some commandments. Maybe there's responsibilities here in education. This is not supposed to be. You're supposed to teach everybody, kind of creates their own idea of morality. And so this is one thing I think is really important to understand if you're going to go into an apprenticeship, especially teaching young children. You have to understand that it's important and why you do it. Because, of course, even though Christians and churches may neglect children, the enemies of the church do not. The church does not show up for this. They're just not showing up for the battle. And I say that's one of the unique ministries that Grace Community School does. Growing up, I can honestly say I've never heard of any church really focusing on young children. And so I'd say that's one of the big aspects right there. Also understanding that there's a huge difference between academic respectability and what is truly respectable. What is truly respectable is to present the gospel, to teach the truth without hindrance. This is respectable. To get fancy titles, to have people think well of you, to have maybe a doctor in front of your name, which nothing wrong with that. But nobody's going to come in to a classroom, a Christian school classroom, and pat someone on the back necessarily for coming in every day, diligently, day in and day out, year after year, and publicize what a wonderful job they're doing. It's not seen as respectable because it's difficult. It's work, it's intensive. You're having to put not just a day, it's not a debate where people love to watch debates. People will stand up on stage and one will go against the other, and then it's over. Or they like to have conferences, and a conference for this and a conference for that. Everybody shows up and everybody speaks. We'll talk about the problems that are at hand. We'll talk about solutions that are needed, and then everybody goes home. But not much is done. There's a lot of talk about what needs to be done. There's a lot of talk about the problems that Christianity faces, real problems, but there's very little work being done. And so this is one of the things that I would say is necessary, is also having the understanding that work has to be done. People are going to have to get out there, out of their comfort zones. They're going to have to get out there and educate. There's a lot of talk about bringing and educating our young children, especially teens, high school, college level kids, adults. They all want apologetics ministries, meaning they want people to be trained to go out and combat atheism and all kinds of other things that would come up against Christianity. But there's never a push, and I've definitely not heard a push, for Christian education to get in there before these students are inundated with humanism. They're getting 13 plus years of humanism, and then you're trying to send people in with apologetics and try to counteract all the false beliefs that a person's had. Where with Christian education, you come in prior to all this, especially with young children, you're the first one in. And so I would say that to take on this, you would have to understand that you're starting at the bottom. You're not trying to go against all the bad doctrines because they're not there with young children yet. You're getting to lay the foundation yourself, being able to help them. And this, I think, is an open door. And so that's one of the biggest things for me. If you're going to understand that, you're going to have to understand why preschool is important, why we start at the bottom, and expect that most people will neglect you, will not really focus on what you do because it's not flashy. Showing up every day to teach children again and again and again is not seen in the limelight like some other things are, like having a debate or practicing apologetics where you go on campuses and argue with people. But sitting down and teaching children diligently day in and day out is not seen as romantic, I would almost say. Seen as labor-intensive work. And I think that, however, the gospel is labor-intensive work. We don't always see the fruit of our labor immediately. That's what faith is all about. Some people like to see an argument that will just destroy somebody's preconceived ideas through apologetics. But through Christian education, it's quite the opposite. Instead of destroying somebody's concepts that may be false, we're building in the proper understanding of the world, proper views of the Bible, proper views of morality and humanity and all the rest. So it's really a contrasting view of building versus trying to destroy and then repair. So for me, I think to understand what the apprenticeship is, you have to really understand that. We're starting at the bottom, we're getting there first, and we're trying to build from the ground up these children and give them a proper view of the world. And so there's a lot less later on to try to repair.
That's very useful. And the analogy of building and repairing is very useful. Why spend all this time and effort building an edifice which is a stronghold for the enemy, which you then have to tear down in the lives of your own child, when you can build a stronghold for the Lord in the life of a child? It's just so simple. It's just so reasonable. And the status quo is just so unreasonable and illogical and just plainly perverse. So this is definitely something that we must see and must agree with before we can begin to engage in the work. And as you say, you must count the cost of not having the great kudos of being the debater who is able to counter the very visible enemies of Christianity. Perhaps the enemies of Christianity which are most effective are those that are educating from the young ages up. So that again is very useful, thank you. So I've worked for one of the largest international Christian missions, and it took me a few months to raise my financial support from friends and family, and I am deeply grateful for their sacrifice, but I must admit I had to swallow my pride a little. Now, you're working in a ministry to young children. Did you have a similar problem?
I would say no, I did not. Not in that manner, at least. One of the basic things of the apprenticeship program and what its basis is not just the understanding of preschool, but also a right view of economics, which might sound strange in this context, but it's actually very relevant. When a person, of course, is financially stable, they're independent for themselves. A person like that is very independent of other people. If a person is relying on the goodwill donations of others, it will, perhaps not even cognitively, but it will affect what a person says, what a person does not say, what they stand for, specifically what they teach. All these things are going to be there. So I would definitely say that the program, when I came into it, when I was 18 years old for the apprenticeship program, it was understood that it was built for the purpose of financial independence from the ground up, which is one of the reasons why whenever an apprentice comes into the program, they're not unpaid interns. This is not some internship where you're going to come and volunteer your time and get the secrets. Instead, it's built from the ground up. You're getting a salary, a full salary for pay. On top of that, the apprenticeship program is more than just about earning money and a paycheck. There's housing involved in the apprenticeship program as well. Like when I came down, I was given a home to live in, and I lived in a home free of charge to myself, except for utilities that I might use. But the rent for the home was not a cost to myself, so I was able to save quite a bit of money because I was not having to spend it in other areas. On top of that, of course, was the college I was enrolled in as well. And this was also free of charge to me. I did not have to take on debt to enroll myself into college. I was able to work through and get a bachelor's and a master's degree in early childhood education through the apprenticeship program as well. And so from the very beginning, it's all building blocks to you have an idea for working and then making money, saving your money, also keeping yourself out of debt, which is part of what the college is about. Many people end up coming out of college with extreme debts, and they spend many, many years of their life trying to work off this debt. And so from the very beginning, this whole idea of financial independence is built into the core structure of the program itself. And as far as having to worry, I did not have to worry about trying to get people to finance me. The school itself, because of the apprenticeship program, it was the one that did it, and it still does. It's built around the idea that this ministry is very important. Because it's so important that the apprenticeship program in Grace Community Schools is willing to go through great means to help other people, specifically young people, those young people that might be coming directly out of homeschooling situations, public school educations, the different scenarios, thinking about college, where should I go, what should I do, what calling should I have, and all these questions that a person might have. And so the apprenticeship program brings them in and says, well, instead of getting debt for a college degree, we'll enroll you into college, and you can work on your college at the same time as being trained on how to run a school. You can have a home to live in, And while you're living in this home, you're able to save the money that you would be spending on perhaps rent or housing, whatever it might be. So from the very beginning, everything is built on the core structure of keeping yourself out of debt, relying on your financial independence. And these structures right here make it very possible a person to be independent of controls of other people, pressures they might have, maybe pressures on the outside of the church community, and also those pressures that come from the inside of the church community as well. And this does make a person very, very independent, and they're able to actually fulfill their calling. And on top of that, of course, would be something that I think is very important that people also understand what the apprenticeship program is about. Dr. Ellsworth McIntyre, when he started his first school in 1986, which has since grown to over 8 facilities in Southwest Florida, was built on a model of a family business. And so it's a very different model from what the typical missions idea is. The typical idea of missions would be that single people would go out, would be part of these missions. Perhaps they did it their entire lives. Perhaps they did it for a short period of time. Some of them would take their families with them, which would be the better scenario, specifically if they had families. And that was the type of scenario that you're looking at with what our apprenticeship model is it's not individualistic. It's not just about what a person will do, but what a husband and a wife and a family can do together. And not only do they learn to run a successful school that has a business model that is workable and profitable, which can continue to lead to their financial independence, and they can continue to teach unhindered, and they can continue to reach those people in their local communities, but they can also pass this on to their children. Like my own children are working with me. I have my 9 children who I'm able to homeschool with me at my school, work side by side with my wife. And then, of course, I minister to 250 plus children a day. And those are 250 families per day in my school. And we're able to do this all at the same time. And my children, of course, as they grow up, not only do they do their academic studies and their core education that they would need, but they also get the practical training of running a business, of seeing it day in and day out, and they get to participate in what we do. My wife actually is the original product of Dr. McIntyre's model because she was his daughter. She grew up, the first school was open when she was 9, and she grew up through that system that he had developed. And of course, my wife and I are currently running a very successful school and are passing that same system on to our children as well. So it's a sustainable model that not only is it for a person individually, it's mostly built around a family setting, a family calling, not an individualistic calling. And it's not about a personal financial independence, but also for your children or your children's children in the case of Dr. McIntyre. And this is what the Bible says about a good man lays up for his children's children. This is not just about a heritage of faith, which you also are able to build because you're with them all the time, but you also are building a heritage of financial independence for your children. They're being taught the diligence and the tools that are needed to do that. Now, the apprenticeship program, of course, develops this in their people that are enrolled in it. And so this is also a concept that a prospective apprentice for our program would have to take in, is that it's not just about yourself, but it's also about bringing in possibly your husband, your wife, into this as well, working as a team side by side all the time in full-time ministry. And then your children being brought into this as well, having control over their education, being able to teach them as God would have you teach them. And then, of course, being able to pass on what you know to them, being able to pass on that financial independence to your children as well, and in the case of Dr. McIntyre, onto his children's children, as I'm currently experiencing myself. So this is something that I think is also really important. And so as far as my experiences being different from the normal person that deals with missions, it is very, very different. And I think it's a unique ministry that many people need to think about and be able to utilize. And that's one of the reasons why the apprenticeship program is there, is to bring in those other people like ourselves who are like-minded, have a heart for missions, a heart for Christian education, and then giving them the tools that they need, and then sending them out, and then they can do the same things we are doing here.
There's a lot of ground that you've covered there. And one of the things which comes to mind, first of all, is the fact that you're independent, if you're not reliant on the donations of others. And St. Paul, who was the beneficiary of a rabbinic education which included learning a trade, because he had learned a trade and exercised that trade, he could be the apostle that he was. He could be outspoken. He didn't have to rely on pleasing the churches. And as we read his epistles, we see that he definitely didn't do that. It's not a coincidence. It's a direct result of his financial independence. And again, as per the last interview, finance, economics, this is a spiritual matter. This is an intensely spiritual matter that God cares about a great deal, regardless of what the pietistic or just plain apostate modern quote-unquote evangelical church says about the matter. So economics, independence, all terribly important. Just to underline again, you can get your undergraduate degree at college, you can get your master's degree, you get your housing supplied minus your utility bills without incurring debt. And in fact, while you're earning a living wage, a little bit more than a living wage, and it's a family-based affair. Now, it is unfortunate in the mission field, and this is not to be derogatory towards the single women. I think it's a fault of the men rather than of the women. It seems to be that single women are the backbone of missions. In my experience, working with Wycliffe Bible Translators, they are the ones who go in and stay the course in the most difficult areas. But it is a rather mixed witness to the cultures in which they operate. And again, this is by no means to undermine the work that they do, because it is clearly invaluable. It's simply, I don't believe it's their fault at all, and I have the greatest possible respect for them. But this is what you're talking about is very self-consciously a family-based affair, and not just in principle, but in practice. It works because it is family-based. That's its strength. It's a practical strength of it. So, as you say, you are the beneficiary of marrying a product of the Grace Community School system. Your wife was experienced. By the time she met and married you, she was very experienced in the whole business end of running a daycare, managing a daycare, school and childcare facility. And your own children, you very keenly expect to see them take up the reins of a like operation. And if they don't decide to do that, then they will have the business skills to perhaps pursue a profitable business in another domain, should that be the most suitable calling for them. So it is, again, a very win-win situation. And I think its wisdom is that it sees God's ways as being productive in economically and in all possible ways. So it does seem like a win-win situation compared to the standard model of debt and the accumulation of abstract educational degrees. So I like to be able to see something, to picture it in my mind. So can you give us a typical day in the life of an apprentice in your program? You've mentioned the fact that they will be managing, they'll be perhaps cleaning toilets, they'll also be studying. So what does a typical day in the life look like for such a person?
Quite intensive. There's a difference, I think, that a person has to come in with, which would probably be a third point. We'd start with what is a realistic outlook to have when taking on such an apprenticeship. And we mentioned earlier, it's not just taking on a job. You can get a job anywhere. To build and cultivate a calling is very difficult. To be financially independent requires work. The Bible is very clear that the hand of the diligent is the one that's made fat, but the one that is not tendeth to poverty. In other words, what God tells us very simply is this: hard work equals money, profit. People that refuse to do so will not. You have to want. And so I would say with an apprenticeship, you're training in very basic terms. You're not training to be an employee, though there's nothing wrong with being an employee, of course. But the apprenticeship program is built along the lines of being an entrepreneur or being a business owner, someone who runs the business, is in control of the business. Once again, financially independent. They are the one in charge. They're not beholden specifically to someone, but they are in charge of the business itself. They are responsible for its successes or for its failures. And the marketplace is a wonderful way of giving results almost immediately. If you don't do your job, you don't make money. If you do your job right, you can't make money. And so whenever you're taking on an apprenticeship, an apprentice has to understand that it's not an 8-to-5 type of job. That would be considering the mindset of a mere employee that only wants to show up for 8 hours, only wants to make enough to get by, and only wants to do enough to keep their job. To have more of an entrepreneur spirit, it would take a person to understand that they are there from the time that the doors open to the time that the doors close. So an apprentice comes in, and so when they start training like I did when I was 18, they start from that premise right there. You're going to start to learn how to run a business, how to do something profitably. I mean, it takes severe commitment. As we mentioned earlier in the previous cast, and you touched on it today, was you have to count the cost. It will be work. Entrepreneur is not simple. Being responsible for a family is not simple. The work never stops. I have 9 children. The work never stops. I don't think if you have even 1 child or 9 children, you understand that the work never stops. The laundry is never folded enough, and dishes never stop being need to be cleaned, and the house is never clean enough. As an entrepreneur spirit, you understand that you're going to have to work. And you show up when the doors open. Like at our school, would be 6:30 is when we open. We close at 6 o'clock at night. It's Monday through Friday. There's only 5 work days. There's not 6 work days. So there are 2 days off every week. There is, of course, a lunch break, of course, like you would have normally. But the apprentice would understand that they're important. If I'm there or if I'm not, it doesn't matter. The school will keep running. The idea that the apprentice would have to grasp is that they are important. And if they don't show up, if they don't do their jobs properly, then it doesn't get done. And that really is, to me, has to be one of the basic mindsets a person has to take if they're going to undertake an apprenticeship. And so the basic day would start with the apprentice showing up early in the morning, welcoming people as they come in, parents, children, getting buildings ready. Apprentices would typically start working in the classroom. If a person is going to be a good business owner, a good manager, they're going to have to know how to do the things they're asking other people to do. Whenever a teacher that you have, like me, I have over 30 employees that I manage every day, and I have to be able to tell them how to teach, how to deal with troubling behavior, how to deal with impatient parents, complaints, all the different things. And so the first thing an apprentice would learn to do is learn how to run a classroom, learn how to deal with children, how to teach them, specifically teaching them how to read. Bible, of course, is there. The men, like myself, teach Bible twice a day. We do about 15 minutes. Bible times are very short but intensive. As the Bible says, it's not a one-time thing, as we were talking about. It's not a one-time debate and you win all the children over. It's not a one-time argument where you will win the child. They will never question anything again. They have known everything they need to know. But I think Deuteronomy 6 covers it best when it describes the parent's role in education. And the teacher, a Christian teacher, draws from this as well. It's a constant, all the time, diligent teaching, every day, all day. There is not a specific time that is just non-related to biblical teaching. But the Bible times we have are very simplistic in their orientation. We do the 23rd Psalm. The children recite the 23rd Psalm with us. We'll do the pledges. We do pledge to the Bible, the Christian flag, the American flag. Beyond that, we'll also do Bible stories with them. Each day we'll teach a portion of the Bible, a story that we're dealing with. Maybe it's Jonah and the whale, David and Goliath and his life, all those things that might go with it. And then, of course, we teach the Ten Commandments. We would have them recite the Ten Commandments with us. Then, of course, we would stop teaching application to this commandment so that they understand it. Recitation without application does not give knowledge. You have to actually teach it. And then, of course, throughout the day, as children interact with each other, we bring to memory the things that we've learned in Bible time twice a day. When they hit each other, when they steal from each other, when they are disobedient to their teachers, you bring to mind what God has taught, you know, each day, every day. And for some of these children that we deal with, an apprentice would deal with them, depending on how long they're here, for 3 years. If they have their own school or they operate a location like I deal with some families for over 10 years, some children. They're with me 5 days a week, some of them 8 hours a day, for 10 years. This is not Sunday school. This is not vacation Bible school. This is not Awana's. This is diligent discipleship, and on a daily basis. It's very, very intensive. And so an apprentice would be doing this as well. And besides teaching the Ten Commandments and their application, we also do the Lord's Prayer, and we do Bible songs as well at the end. And we also pass out rewards. An apprentice would not only learn to run a classroom and do these things, but they would also learn how to reward. God deals with us in a very rewarded fashion. He promises rewards for our obedience and our successes, and withholding reward for our failures. And so apprentices will learn how to interact with children in a positive manner, to get them and to help them and to promote them and their growth and their understanding of what God says. And of course, apprentices, as time goes beyond this, they will also be learning new things. It goes into management type skills. This goes into not just running a classroom, but being able to manage a classroom, which would mean teaching other people how to teach, helping them, cultivating them and how to do it, which is another topic altogether. Doing it yourself is one thing. Teaching someone else how to do what you already know how to do is quite another thing entirely. Getting them to do it and motivating them to do it as well. Then, of course, there's parental interactions. They would need to learn how to handle and deal with parents, how to do sales. That would be on the phone, how to talk to people and do sales calls. Salesmanship is very different as well. It takes time to develop and cultivate an attitude of salesmanship. It's just not natural for most people. And then, of course, learning how to deal with visitors, asking questions, dealing with parents and complaints, handling anything that might come up. Then there's accounting, how to actually take money, billing, all the things that would be in the business end of it, the actual handling of money, these kinds of things. And so it's very much a full-orbed ministry. And that covers just the practical training. The academic training, as far as the college, the apprentice would also set aside time to also work on their college, because at the same time as working a full-time job of could be 11 and a half hours is what we're talking. This is what it takes to run a successful school. They would also be doing their studies on top of this to earn their degrees, which I did myself. And it's very simple to do for the dedicated person, for the person who does not wish to work very hard or to work very minimally. An apprenticeship is not necessarily for them. Their attitudes would be amiss for what an apprenticeship is. But a self-motivated person, as I was at the time, and there are many other people that I'm sure are like myself, which is what we're trying to reach, those people have find no problem doing this whatsoever. So at the same time, they're learning all the practical aspects of running a successful business, having the proper attitude and skills. They're also getting the opportunity at the same time to do all of the studies with the college. So you're not having to give up at years of your life to do just the book work and then try to go get a job and then trying to learn how to do things later. You get to do them simultaneously so that in 3 years, you not only have the academic papers and degrees that you would need, but you have all the practical training that it takes to actually do the business itself and to how to actually operate a school itself. And so it's really much a unique and full-orbed program that I've never seen anywhere else. It just is so different compared to anything else.
Okay, that is a full day. So this is not a get-rich-quick scheme, but it is a working financial independence scheme. So it will work if you follow the course. But there is a cost to be paid for this financial independence, and it is the price that every entrepreneur has to pay, except that the entrepreneur is usually not, unless he's a franchise owner, is plowing his own furrow, and very, very seldom does he have an older, more experienced entrepreneur mentoring him. So there are costs to be paid, but this is a proven method as we look at purely the business end of things and the economic end of things. Entrepreneurship is rewarding, but can be terribly dangerous, and we know that it can be terribly precarious. The statistics for small business failures in the first year are pretty high. So in a day, you will be teaching others to teach. You will be teaching the commandments, and you'll be applying that, bringing to mind at the teachable moments what has been taught earlier in the day. You're being taught salesmanship, how to deal with parents, how to do the accounting, how to handle money. You're being taught and being apprenticed in everything, all aspects of the business, everything that's needed to be an effective owner, operator of a daycare. So yes, it's a useful quote to say. It's simple for the dedicated. It's simple for the dedicated. And it doesn't sound easy, but I expect it's rewarding. And the Bible does say that those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. And so I think this is a case in point.
Dr. McIntyre, his first book that he wrote was very much based on the idea of being financially independent. And of course, many people think that financial independence, business, and full-time ministry are incompatible for some reason. Most of the time, these are the same people that do not see a person's faith or profession and their actions to have anything to do with each other. The successful businessman, the Christian businessman, works hard and is diligent, as the Bible says. He is not quick. He's not quick to gain wealth, as you said. He is diligent because he is supposed to be diligent. He knows that his diligence will pay off. In other words, someone has said it like this before: get rich slowly and keep the commandments. The Bible is very clear that a person can be diligent and work hard, and it will add no guilt with the wealth that this person has because they have toiled lawfully. The Bible is full of people who have worked lawfully and been wealthy. You have Job, you have many other people, Abraham, many people who were Christians, very godly Christians, and were wealthy. So the idea that wealth and true Christianity are incompatible is definitely not biblical. The idea that some people believe it's impossible. Before I came here, I was also aware that this idea was prevalent among the Christian community. Many people were hesitant that Dr. McIntyre had overstated his successes, embellished that it was able for a family to work together and full-time ministry and, of course, be profitable at the same time, be financially independent. Myself, when I came into this, I worked hard, got married, and my wife and I had an understanding that we wanted children, and we were willing to have as many children as God wanted us to have, which is a true act of faith. And we had the firm belief that God would also provide not only the children that he wanted us to have, but he would also provide the means for us to care for those children. He is the person who owns everything. And so whenever we came into this was our work. We were diligent, and I was diligent. My wife was diligent in the work that we did. And we are financially independent to the point that we own our own home. We have 9 children. This model is very much a workable model, but it is not a model for the weak or lazy, as we said earlier. It is definitely one for the diligent. And God is a rewarder of those that are diligent. And God rewards people as he decides to. So I think it's a miss that anybody would say that, well, all people are going to end up with the same amount of money, homes, whatever it might be. I think that definitely is a miss. But I will say this, is that God rewards the diligent. God rewards those that are very serious about caring for their families, staying faithful to their husband, their wife, care for their children, care about the education of their children, not placing their children underneath humanistic educations, but also making sure their children are educated properly. Not only that, but on top of that, that they are also have a heart for helping others escape the humanistic educations. As we said, the church and the Christians as a whole has completely abandoned early childhood education in all children. And the only ones filling in the gap and the vacuum are the humanists. They're bringing in all these children, and they are more than happy to teach these children against God, against the church. And those within this type of ministry, however, not only wish to do the jobs that they're supposed to, taking care of their own family, but they have a heart for other people. And I believe this is the true success of the Grace Community model. It's full orbed. It attempts to meet all of God's obligations upon us at the same time. In fact, also helping those that are in need, those widows, those orphans, those needy families that are out there in the world. And it gives them a substitute for humanistic education, which is, without Grace Community School, I can't really think of many schools that do what we do. And I think that was the true hand of God that is the blessing on this ministry. And of course, that's why we want to push this for other people as well, that God's hand of blessing will be on them as they do God's work, that they will have not only physical, material wealth, but they would have a spiritual in the world to come. God is very clear, especially in Matthew 5, that those that not only keep the commandments, but also teach others to do so, will be greatly blessed by God. Those that turn many to righteousness, as it says in Daniel, will shine like the stars forever. God is very, very important for him. Christian teachers in particular have a special place, special blessing on them for turning people to God. And I can't overstate it enough how important the ministry is and how neglected it is. People in the church seek intellectual respectability instead of seeking respectability that comes from God.
And if you don't share that perspective, then this program isn't for you, most likely. You're not going to be able to stay the course. So, moving on, how well did the apprenticeship program which you went through prepare you for the work that you are now presently doing? And I presume that you yourself are now apprenticing other people.
Yes, indeed, that is the case. I came to be an apprentice. In the course of that, of course, I met my wife, which I think is if an apprentice has the proper view, that's also what they're looking for. If they have the right understanding of what the apprenticeship is, if they have the right understanding of what Christian education is, what true missions is. And I think that they're also not only looking for to be a missionary, they're not only looking to evangelize, but they're also looking for a spouse as well, a spouse to work beside them as well. And that's why this model is what it is. And apprentices, I think, would also be looking for somebody of like mind to do this type of thing as well, because they can not only do it together as a couple, husband and wife working together, but also with their children and pass it on. And so the vision is very multi-generational. It's not just about making your ends meet. It's certainly not about get rich quick. It's about promoting the kingdom of God. And I think if a person comes to it with that understanding, then they'll have it. When I went through the program, it was very intensive and very thorough. And as people say, there's cliches, the proof is in the pudding. I went through my apprenticeship. It took me 3 years to do that. Before that term ended, I was married. I got married in the middle of my apprenticeship to my wife. And then after my 3 years were done, my apprenticeship was completed. And I've been doing this ever since. My apprenticeship started in the year 1999, and we are now in the year 2014. So as they say, the proof is in the pudding. I'm not only able to do all the things that we're claiming that the apprenticeship will do, I'm doing it successfully with 250-plus students in my school per day, countless children coming through my doors every single day, and being able to work alongside my wife with my children, controlling their education, and ministering to other people. And so I would say that apprenticeship far exceeded my expectations. I came originally just expecting to learn how to be a teacher, really, to go back to my hometown and to teach there. And I have to say that the apprenticeship was far more than what I even thought it was. And so it's far exceeded my expectations. And that's why I can't speak highly enough for it, because I know what it did for me. And I wish the same thing for other people. So yes, I am currently involved in training others as well. Some of my nieces and nephews are now in the apprenticeship program as well. And they're currently going through that. My wife's sister, some of her children are older. My oldest is only 12, and he hasn't quite yet entered it, although he's certainly picking up quite a few things and helping out here as well. But her children are actually in the apprenticeship program, and I help with their training, and they're doing exceptional as well. And so this program is not only productive, profitable, but it's also sustainable. The first school opened in 1986, and so it's still been going since then, and it's been profitable from day one. And the man that started it, Dr. Ellsworth McIntyre, not only was successful himself, sometimes people look at things and say, well, he did it. Well, that person can do it, but I can't do this. That person there, well, that person's just exceptional, but not me. I can't do that. that I would have said that about myself. I would have definitely said about myself at the time that, well, maybe I could be a teacher, but I don't know if I could, I don't know if I could really run a school with 250 students, over 30 employees, with 9 children to homeschool and do it all at the same time. But that's what I do. It isn't one shot in the pan where Dr. Ellsworth McIntyre could do it. No, Jeremy Walker can do it, and other people can do it too, and so can you. It takes a dedication and it takes training. And if you have those two things, and of course, the most important would be the calling and blessing of God. And that can never be overstated. But those kind of all go hand in hand. If you have the calling and blessing from God, then He will be the one to help you be dedicated. He will be the one to help you be diligent. And so they all go together. But I can't overstate enough just how far the apprenticeship program exceeded my expectations, and it still does.
So the apprenticeship program worked, and it worked beyond your expectations, and it can work with the proviso that you are called by God and that you are willing to be diligent in your work. It can work for you, and it can work for the person listening who is sensing God's call to work in this area. And that's not just somebody saying that having looked at the business plan. That's somebody who has gone through the program and who has seen other people go through the program. And that isn't just a matter of 1 year or 5 years or 10 years. This has been going for more than 30 years. And as you say, the first childcare facility was profitable from day one. So the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So what advice would you give to those who are listening who are attracted to the program but are hesitating?
A person that's hesitant, especially if it's a godly thing, a person is looking at something that is good, Christian education and Christian calling, and they're kind of hesitant about it. The best way to alleviate your fears or to alleviate your conscience or to get an answer is to start asking the right questions. And the right questions is, does God want me to do this? And if God does want you to do this, then you'll ask the next question, who should I talk to find out more about this? You would also obviously talk to us about this. You can go to the website, which is www.gcsapprenticeship.com, and you can find more information on there. You can also follow the links on there to contact us directly, either by email or by phone. Be happy to talk to anybody. That's what I did when I was first introduced to it at the age of 18, is I knew I was interested in education, I knew I was interested in teaching, and then I heard about it, and it was an opportunity that was out there, and I heard that it was so wonderful, it was too good to be true. So I personally drove down to Southwest Florida from North Florida to meet with Dr. McIntyre myself, and when I sat down and talked with him, I found out that it was not too good to be true. I then went to all the people I could possibly use for counselors, pastors, youth pastors, parents, to find out what God's will was for me. And the best answer I came up with, which was quite surprising and yet so simple, was, number one, do you feel called to something like this? And the answer was, well, yes, I do. The answer to question number two was, is there anything unlawful about what's in front of you? And of course, the answer was, of course not. And so for that, it was made up my mind very easily. And so I would say for other people, the best way to find out if something is for you is to start asking questions, to find out your current situation. Now, the next thing would be, not only is it for you, but am I able to take on an apprenticeship? Am I able to relocate to Southwest Florida from wherever I live, maybe the United States, and take on an apprenticeship directly in person? And the answer for many people would be yes, they are able to do that. For other people, the answer may be no. Maybe they have families. Maybe they already currently have a family, and they're not able to do that. And so for that, Dr. McIntyre wrote some years ago an operations manual. And we're currently in the middle of revising that manual for a 2014 edition. And inside this manual basically covers the entire teaching that you would get during the apprenticeship program. Everything, step by step, how to run a classroom, how to handle complaints, how to do everything. Took it and wrote it all down and put it into an operations manual where most people would keep locked away, much like secret spices for KFC. We, of course, are not interested in keeping the secrets because they're not ours. We are interested in Christian education, and that promotes the kingdom of God. And so we are more than willing to give all of our information and knowledge to those that are not able to come here and get it directly. That more information can be found on the website as well about the operations manual. Beyond that as well, the next question beyond how to do something that I can't be directly trained in will be, well, what do I do? What activities do I do? Because you'll be running a school. We're also currently building and creating a curriculum for preschool ourselves. It's called College Can Begin at 2. And this curriculum will be giving everyone that has this curriculum everything they need, papers, games, activities, everything. And so these things will all be available. The curriculum is not yet available, but it will be available soon. We'll be making that available to anybody that wants it. So these are the things that I would say for how a person can interact, what should they do. And so those that are interested in the apprenticeship program and are able to take on an apprenticeship for 3 years should visit the website, should email and contact us directly. Those that are very interested in what we can do but are not able to take on an apprenticeship directly because of location, maybe they aren't in the United States, then I would be interested in, they should be interested in the operations manual itself and the curriculum which would help them, which literally gives them everything they need. And then, of course, we are available ourselves for any help or questions for that. We'll make ourselves available. So those are the different ways that I would tell a person to do if they're unsure of what to do or if they're very interested in something like this.
It's not just for the folks in the U.S. You have an operations manual that's out soon. You have a revised version that will be coming out soon. And you also are working on a curriculum. So in the near future, hopefully sooner rather than later, I'm sure you're working very hard on that, you will be able to imitate the Grace Community School's methodology and approach in your country. And presently there are schools operating on a similar basis in Mexico and Japan, I believe. And those that are interested, those that are hesitant, well, just pick up the phone and call, or maybe Facebook. Answering a few simple questions might be all it takes to overcome some of your hesitancy. So just skipping on to the last question, do you have any further thoughts that you would like to leave with us?
I would definitely encourage those that are interested in Christian missions and have a heart for evangelism to not neglect the children, to seek what God would say is acceptable, what he would say is respectable, over what men would say is respectable. The Bible is always very clear that the Pharisees were the ones who were looking for the respect of men. They wanted to pray out in the open. They wanted to have the tassels on their clothes, have the best seats in the house. They always wanted other people's praise. But Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet. When you tithe, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. For what you do in secret, God will reward you openly. And this, I think, is very important, is that if you're interested, don't seek after the respect of what other people will say is respectable. But look and find out what God says is respectable. It's very apparent that when children were brought to Jesus, the disciples rebuked them and told them to get away, these children. And Jesus became angry with them. Don't forbid the little children to come to me. But in every instance, you can see the church as a whole stuffs children typically in Sunday school versus with their parents. They have 1 week of vacation Bible school and these kinds of things. So even though they do put focus on children, they don't put much focus on them. They don't think very highly of them. They prefer to listen to debates and go to debates and learn apologetics where they're learning to argue with people instead of going and learning from the base and teaching people. Why argue? Why dismantle when you have to start from the bottom and you can build from the bottom? You don't have children arguing with you and standing up to you and pointing at you and saying, God, there is no God. When you stand before those children, you say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That children says, he did. You don't have to worry about these kinds of things that other people are focusing on. Though many of those ministries are needed, I think that the overabundance of focus on those ministries is lacking. And so I would say that many people do not respect children and respect what God would say is important for us, the diligent training of children that's needed, their own personal children, and of course others as well. There's very needy parents out there. So I would say I would encourage people to have a high respect for children and for childhood education, to also honestly ask themselves, is it better to be financially independent and out of debt, or is it more beneficial to have a big degree with lots of debt and no job and no training? I think that it's much more beneficial to have no debt, to be financially independent, to work with your spouse, to control your children's education, to help the poor, to help the needy, to help the orphans. I think that is a much greater calling than to seek respectability from people and pieces of paper that, frankly, aren't worth the frame that they're in.
Thanks for listening. I hope you found it edifying. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and YouTube. Remember to think God's thoughts after him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Until next time, every blessing in the Lord.